Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people. Please stand for our call to worship, which is from Jude. That you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Let us worship God.
Didn't pray Communion is number 102, Jesus, the very thought of me.
Thank you.
This is the Lord's table, open to all, and all are welcome here. All are invited to be nourished here in their journey of faith. All are invited here to find spiritual encouragement, and all may experience forgiveness here in this act of remembrance for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for revealing yourself through the life, works, and words of your Son Jesus, the visible image of your holy glory. Thank you for his example of how each of us have been called to live. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us, fill us, and be with us. The peace you leave with us so that our hearts will not be troubled and we will not be afraid. Bless this cup and bread that we take today, the symbols of the sacrifice that your Son made for us for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
this to his disciples. So he presents to us to do this in remembrance of him. As we partake of the bread, let's remember the bodily sacrifice on the cross. In like manner, he took the cup, and he said to his disciples, and so says to us, as you drink this, the fruit of the vine, drink it in remembrance of me. Thanks be to God
for bringing us to salvation.
At this time, we'll pray for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for so many blessings. Let us not take for granted all that you do for us, all that you've given to us, most of all in the giving of your Son, who gave all for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Number 82, his eye is on the sparrow.
Thank you.
Our scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31, and I'm reading today from the New King James Version, if you'd like to turn in your pew Bibles and follow along. Jesus is speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father. He will give you another helper, one that will abide with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be it afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. This is the word of God for the people of God.
We like to be comfortable, right? It's all about, let's get some comfort. So, after we get out of here, some of us will go and we'll get some comfort food. And, you know, that's usually food that's not real good for you, right? But it just feels so good. So comfort food. You know, we have air conditioning, so we'll be comfortable. And matter of fact, some AC companies will probably have comfort in their name, like Comfort Air or Air Comfort, something like that. Then we get these heavy blankets that we wear to keep us warm, and we call them comforters. And so we think about comfort. We want comfort that keeps us full, comfort that keeps us cool, and comfort that keeps us warm. And on we go with comfort. So now movie theaters have installed recliners. Don't expect that at church. We don't want you to be that comfortable. You know? So, I mean, it's challenging enough to keep you awake, you know, but if you get recliners, you'll be gone. And I've been where you're at. There have been some preachers that, I get to share it, you know, I went to church years ago, and we both were really struggling. And so I said, I got an idea. You lean this way, I'll lean this way. That way we're not going to fall out of the chair. So I understand. But comfort, we think of it. We want it. And we are even told we deserve it.
Now, I don't know how we deserve it, but that's what the commercials will tell us. Comfort is also something that's extended when people lose their loved ones. We try to extend comfort. And Jesus is extending comfort to his disciples. He's telling them things that it's really deep. Matter of fact, you don't see it here in this chapter. They're still not getting it. When we get to chapter 18, we'll see that they're still saying, huh? What are you saying? They're still not getting it. So we're going to look at this passage of Scripture as he tries to give them comfort. He's told them he's going to be leaving them. He's not going to be with them much longer. This is the last day of his life here on earth. And so, last week we looked where, trying to give comfort, he said, let not your heart be troubled. And he's trying to comfort them and trying to help them understand that in a different way, he is still going to be with them. Now, I want to look at several promises that we'll find. This is a very difficult passage to comprehend if you take it as a whole. We've got to break it into bite sizes, you know? It'd be hard to eat a steak if you ate the whole thing in one bite. You got to cut it into pieces so you can take the bites. And then you will succeed in eating the steak. So I'm going to cut this into several bites as we look at six different promises that I see in this passage of Scripture. Now the first one is the promise of assurance. And we start with verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now you may say, well, where's the assurance in that? Go back to verse 14 that we looked at last week when he said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And we talked about the fact that other scriptures say, whatever you ask in my name according to my will, that will be done. So it's kind of a qualifier. And we don't have the chapter divisions and the verse divisions. They were not original in the Greek manuscript. So the continuity of this could go exactly as whatever you ask in my name, it will be done. If you love me, keep my commands. Now still you may say, well, how does that give me assurance? If you keep his commands, it shows you love him. Now, when you think of that, though, you may say, well, still, how does that give me assurance? How many of us have lived a perfect life? You know, how many of us fall? How many of us say things, do things, think things that we find ourselves saying, Lord, I need you to forgive me. Well, there is the thing. If we have the direction that causes us to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've made a mess. Lord, I have failed. I need your forgiveness. That's quite different than the person who blatantly just ignores commandments of the Lord. I read something this week that blew me away, but it shouldn't surprise me. Putin claims to be a Christian. Interesting how you can say that you are a Christian, but you can murder people and you can steal from people and all that stuff that's going on, where all these people are being displaced. Jesus said, not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. That's real important. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And there's going to be those, he said, who will say, in your name we cast out demons. In your name we healed the sick. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Not everybody is going to heaven. Not everybody that claims to be a Christian is going. So our assurance is this. Do we have a heart for Jesus Christ? Do we have a heart for his will? Oh, we may have messed up big time. You may have stepped outside the will of God, and you know you stepped outside the will of God, and you came just like Peter, who had stepped out of the will of God, and you came in repentance and asked God to forgive you. There's the promise of assurance. Now, this is a very important thing. That he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in the passage that we're looking at this morning, he says it three times. So it's pretty important. If we say we love Jesus, we're going to back it up with our life. But then we see the promise of a helper in verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, a lot of times I think people think the Holy Spirit was dormant until the day of Pentecost, that he was not involved in the life of believers. But there's scriptures that point to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And here's what Jesus says. He dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is with them. I mean, how could they follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit inspiring them? And he will be in you. By the way, the word dwells. He dwells with you. It's the same word that's used of in my Father's house are many dwelling places. We say many mansions is what we've heard and Psalms have been written. But it's dwelling places in my Father's house. So the Holy Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. This is to be an encouragement to these disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. And it's an encouragement to us as well. On the day of Pentecost, then, what happened? It was a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There was something just totally amazing that happened that day as God poured out his Spirit on that early church. And it says that there were thousands that day that surrendered to Christ. Thousands in one day. A greater number than the disciples had ever experienced. And then on down in verse 38, where Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? Know that. He lives in you. If you know him, if you're a true believer of his and you've accepted him, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That means that as the Holy Spirit lives in us, we may have taken Him into some places that we shouldn't have. But the Holy Spirit lives in us. We may have done some things that we say, Lord, I can't believe I took you in there. But hey, Jesus hung on the cross and bore our sins. So I think He can handle all the mistakes, all the things that we've done wrong. The promise of a helper who will be with them. That uses the words another helper. And some commentaries even present it like kind of another Jesus. Now Jesus, when He was on earth with the disciples, if He went home with one person like Zacchaeus, He could only go to one place at a time. But as we leave this place, the Holy Spirit goes home with each of us. He can be in all of us. And so, another helper. He's giving these words to His disciples. Then there's a promise of closeness in verse 18 through 20. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We're not going to be left alone. He says, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you unprotected. You will have the Holy Spirit. And He says, I will be in Him. He is in me. There again is Jesus saying, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Though three distinct personalities, we are one, He's saying. Then there's the promise of love. In verse 21 through 24, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me. And He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, actually also known as Thaddeus, said to Him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the rest of the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, there's a lot there. But it's like this. How many of you have kids? All right. Now, if people were nice to your kids, you like them, right? You're nice to kids. You like them. But if they're not nice to your kids, we might have a little bit of confession and repentance to do. Because there's probably going to be some sin going on, right? You know, you mess with family, there will be consequences. And so, but if you love my family, then we're good. Well, Jesus is saying, if we love Him, the Father loves us. Now, there's kind of a general love that God has for everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us enough to give us a way for salvation. But He is endeared to us if we love His Son. Now Jesus says, we will come to him and make our home with him. Who does not love me, does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. A lot of emphasis here on obedience to Christ. Then the promise of truth in verses 25 and 26. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Promise of truth. Hey, you know, I remember in college, we always had prayer at Bible college. You know, before we had a test, we started our class. And so I remember this one time. I don't remember much, you know, from between 1974 and 78. That was a long time ago. But I do remember some things that I thought, you know, are embedded there. And one of them was, it was my freshman year. And we're in a Bible class. Don't remember which one. And it's exam day. And the professor called on this guy to pray. And he said, Lord, I pray that you would give your blessing to those of us who studied and have mercy on those of us who didn't. And the professor said, maybe you should be asking me for mercy. So there's probably been students who would say, okay, so the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, so I don't need to prepare for this. Well, that's probably not going to work. But he will teach us as we go through life. He will teach us his will as we get in his word. Now, you know, we can't just walk through life and say, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me, and we don't do anything like look at his word and study his word and spend time in prayer. If we don't have a relationship with him, it's not going to happen. But the truth of God's word, if we will study it, it will inspire us. And then the promise of peace. In verses 27 through 31, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus says, I and the Father are one, but even he's submitted to the will of the Father. The Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. The Father gave me commandment, Jesus said. So I do. Arise. Let us go from here. Jesus has more to say, to bring comfort to his disciples. We gotta have an advantage that they didn't have. You see, they weren't understanding what was going to happen. We get to look back on what has happened.
and partaking of the Lord's Supper every week. I've heard arguments say, oh, well, we don't want it to be commonplace. I had a preacher friend tell me that one time. I said, do you take up an offering every week? This is our remembrance of what Jesus did. If it becomes commonplace to you, it'll become commonplace if you do it once a month. It's a matter of our heart and our continued surrender and reflection, and we're reminded of what Jesus did on the cross and that he arose from the grave. Now, I was reading through the entire chapter of John this morning, and I'm like, I got 3 weeks until Easter. 3 more weeks. And I've got several chapters left. But you know what? Every Sunday, it's really about this. Every Sunday is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we get to just go with it until we get through it. This morning, I hope you know him. If you want comfort, you know, you can spend your money and get all the things the world has out there and be comfortable. But just realize all those things are temporary. Everything. Cars we drive, temporary. Houses are temporary. All the stuff to make us comfortable. You get a new AC unit, 10 years, you'll be getting another one. It's temporary. You know? It's all temporary. But the comfort that is permanent is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not just saying you're a church member, because being a church member doesn't save you, but knowing Jesus as your Savior. There is salvation. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for empowering us. Because without you, we wouldn't be able to live a life that would honor you. And we make mistakes and blunders and do things outside of your will. Give us a heart that yearns for your will and yearns to give you glory and honor. And if there's one here today who has business to do with you, then I pray this would be the time that they would come and surrender. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The song is so appropriate. Have thine own way, Lord. It's not our way, but this. Number 5.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord, that we've had the opportunity to gather to worship. Remind us, Lord, that our worship doesn't end as we walk out the door of the church, but it's a part of our life every day as we seek to do your will. We thank you that we do have the privilege of meeting together. And I pray your blessings on each person here as we all go our separate ways. In Christ's name, amen.